This is the time in our worship service that we share joys and concerns with one another. You're going to have to speak into my microphone this morning to share those joys and concerns, and I invite them from you at this time that we might share them together. No, it's this. So, joys and concerns, yes.
I'll just speak loud.
I don't know if there's more batteries.
So it's the end of the semester, and that's a special time for our college students. So I ask that we would keep them in prayers at this time.
We have new technology, thanks to Kathy Cooper. Others. Take it off my ear. That will work.
I'd like to ask prayers for the Anderson family in Dubuque, Iowa. Their only daughter was diagnosed with a bone malignancy, and after she'd been told it was a bone spur and a this and a that, and so treatment time was lost. Now they're looking for where it came from.
For the Anderson family.
I have a joy that I'm starting to be back with my family. I'm going to take it a day at a time, a minute at a time, and keep praying about it. And also, I have a joy for my neighbor, Denise, who's joining the church. If I didn't tell her about this church and how much I've been loved and taken care of, I don't think we'd be here today. But I'm really grateful that God had showed me that even through my neighbors, I can share what I've learned from the people from here, and that's the unconditional love. Thank you.
So for Melinda reuniting with family and for Denise joining today, Denise and Brian.
Good morning. I have a joy to share. This past week I found myself in San Jose, California, and I didn't realize I was just about 10 minutes from Pastor Dave and Lisa Watermulder. I was able to see them. And they send love and hugs to all the PPC community, definitely thinking of you and missing you. They are holding up well under the circumstances with Mateo, who is progressing in the right direction. I know everyone's thinking about him, so prayers for Mateo. They hope to hold him soon and to have him home sometime in January.
Good morning, everybody. I've got a couple of concerns. First off, the other half of our family is not here. Sorry for the feedback here. Hugo is back in the hospital with some breathing issues, and he overnighted last night, and it sounds like he might be overnighting again tonight. He's made some improvements, but he's still not there yet, and he's still not able to drink for some reason, so he's on an IV. Or he was at least last night. The other concern is also for our boy Hugo. He was kicked out of daycare as of last week, so we're searching for a new daycare. He has a biting issue, which we're hoping to resolve with at Bradley this week and the coming weeks. So appreciate your prayers, continued prayers. Thank you.
Prayers for Hugo and healing, and for the new daycare situation addressing that.
Joy for my grandfather Leroy Marburger, who turned 96 on Thursday. He is still driving, so please pray for him.
Prayers for Leroy, continued health and wisdom and vision.
We want to say thank you to God because my brother now he is in Canada. Thanks God, the next day only they closed the airport in Syria. So it's a miracle, my brother and his two kids now in safety place. Thanks God.
Yay. For Veen's brother and family now in Canada. Veen's brother and what's your brother's first name?
Fadi.
So I have a joy that I'm almost at the end of my second cycle of chemotherapy. Yay! Yay. I'm excited about that. And but the really good news is my doctors this past week gave me the all clear to travel to go see my family in Nebraska for Christmas. So I'm very excited about that. Wonderful. So thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
For Judy, nearing the end of the road of this chemo and the okay to travel to Nebraska, it's been a long year.
I would like to offer prayers, ask for prayers for Hope. Hope is the daughter, a 14-year-old daughter of a co-worker of mine. She's had behavioral problems that have escalated over the past months, and she was admitted to Bradley Hospital over the weekend on Friday. So prayers for her that this will resolve and that the family can, you know, come together and, you know, have a better with her.
For Hope and her family.
We would like prayers for Jamie. She's applying for colleges this month, and just prayers that God will put her in a great place for her where she'll flourish and grow. And we could pray for other high school seniors who are applying this month. It's a big month that way. Thanks.
For Jamie and other seniors. Prayers for Andrew and our family in this week as Andrew travels to, India and Qatar this week, and Paris. So please keep him and us in prayer as he is away.
Let us pray together. God, we put our needs and our hope in your hands. And we know even when we can't name our needs and our troubles, you told us in your scripture, the Holy Spirit is capable of knowing everything, who can read our minds and our hearts and even our heartbeats. So God, please touch us and listen to our need, and even what's behind it, the things we know and the things we do not know. We pray today with this mix of joy and concern and love and care and hope, and we know, God, you can find and you can figure all this out. We pray for our college students because this is a tough time for them now during the year. It's a very stressful time. We pray for wisdom and for strength to go through this semester. We pray for their family and their support. And we pray for the ones who are really far away from their family, and we trust you will be, as we as a community of faith, we could be their family too. We pray for the Anderson family, and we pray, God, for your healing. And you are the true healer, the healer of the spirit and body and soul. And we thank you for Melinda and for her united family. And we thank you for this time of joy and for her sharing the message of Jesus Christ with her neighbor, which is going to be our new member today, Denise. We thank you for that. We thank you for Pastor Dave and for his connection with this congregation, and we pray for his family. We pray for healing and strength, and you know all what they need during this time. We pray for Hugo in the hospital and to give him the full healing and give him the strength. And we pray for the family too, God. Help them to go through this hard time. We pray for his new daycare issue. And we thank you for Lori's grandfather, who is really celebrating his aging with strength and joy. And we thank you for these days when we can get old and we can still be happy. and healthy. We thank you for Vin, brother, and he's now safe with his family, and we pray for the other people who are really not safe yet. And we know you care about everybody. We thank you, God, for Judy and for this end of episode of struggle with healing and chemotherapy. We thank you for this episode, and we hope you guide her for a new chapter of life. We pray, as Alamo mentioned, about the hope for the family and hope to get better and to really connect them together. We're praying for Jamie and for her applying for the college, and we know you know the best place for her, and you will guide her for that. And we pray for everybody in the same situation who are really looking forward to find a future with a good school and good program. And we know in all these, and we pray for Andrew's travel, and we pray for the family here, and we trust God you will guide him and be with him, give him safe travel back and forth. And we know there is a lot of things we couldn't say or we couldn't share, but we trust the Holy Spirit is here and will be always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. The children come forward.
Yeah, it's on.
More coming.
There we go. There's Chrissy. All right. All right. So, well, welcome, guys. So I'm going to play a sound for you, okay? And I want you to think about what this sound means to you and maybe think about what the sound might be. It'll be a strange sound. Andrew, what do you think it is? A trumpet? You think it's a trumpet? An old-fashioned trumpet. And what does that sound mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Didn't you hear that sound? Does it make you want to do anything? No, probably not. Okay. Well, if you were a Hebrew person back in Jesus' time, that would mean something to you. Okay. Because what that is, it's actually a horn. Okay, and what is this made of? Anybody idea what this is made of?
Plastic.
No, it's not plastic.
Yeah.
A tusk.
Well, it's a horn, like it goes on a ram's head. That's right. Okay, and so and when they blew this, they blew them. They have all kinds of sizes. Okay, there's one there. So here's another one, sort of a different tusk. Okay, yeah, be very careful with these. Okay, and yeah, well, you could try. Okay. That didn't work. And they'd blow them when people heard that, they knew something really important was going to happen. Like maybe the king was going to come, okay? If the king was going to come, they would blow that. Or if there was like an army coming and they needed to protect their homes or their the city of Jerusalem, then they would make these sounds. And they also blow these horns on a special day in the Hebrew tradition where people have to ask for forgiveness for all the things that they did in the course of the year. And so I was thinking about these horns because today's message is about John the Baptist, okay? And John the Baptist is mentioning Isaiah, and Isaiah used to talk about these horns, but he also talked about being prepared and being ready for something important to come. What do you think John was talking about that was so important? What was John talking about that was coming? What's coming this month? What? Jesus' birth. So John, he could have been blowing a horn, okay, and telling everybody, get ready, be prepared, because somebody is coming, okay? And so I was sort of thinking about that, and then I learned another thing about preparation, because I just got this horn from a friend yesterday, okay, and I was trying to blow it. So let's see if I can be. that you can't learn to blow this horn in a day. And it's kind of, you know, Advent is kind of like that, right? You can't sort of be ready for Christmas in just a day. It takes like a whole month. So I'll keep practicing, and maybe I'll be able to really blow a horn down the road. Does that make sense? All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, this is a time of preparation, a time to think about our lives, to think about the great things that are coming. Help us to hear the sounds and remember that it is our job to welcome you, to be ready for you. Amen. All right.
The children are excused to go down to their classes through fifth grade, age three through fifth grade downstairs, and the middle school class upstairs, I believe. Perhaps.
Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And our New Testament lesson comes from the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is number 10, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry.
Thank you.
As we prepare to move into this time of meditation, will you pray with me? O Lord, our God, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Bless, O Lord, our hearts and minds that we might hear your word and live into the call that you have on our lives. Draw us ever closer in this holy season to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Going to begin with a bit of technology, I hope, this morning. So all it takes is buy the calendar and you'll be into it, I think. So, when I first saw that, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was absolutely wonderful to point us to the true meaning of Advent, the true meaning of preparation for our Lord to come again, until I saw that line, but it isn't about repentance. And then I read the scripture passages for this particular week in the lectionary, and it's all about repentance and John the Baptist. So it got me to think a little bit more deeply about that. It does present a very comforting and wonderful image of reflection and meditation by the fireside, hot chocolate and times with family close by. And yet, in too many of our worlds, that is not the world we are encountering in these days of Advent. If you are so blessed, then by all means, share that with others. However, for many people, this is a time of great challenge, great distress, great times in our world of uncertainties, of war, and many challenging times. The hurts of our community are very real. 2 years out of three in the Advent lectionary readings, we get this picture of the Advent season, this picture of the miracle, the wonder, the excitement, the joy of preparing for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to year C, and we hear what I refer to as the doom and gloom Advent passages. You can read them yourself if you look at all of them. There are many of them that are not even as positive as this one in Luke. as we have this call to repentance. But even a call to repentance is not all doom and gloom. Because if we remember what repentance means, it means turning around, looking at our world in a new way, not pretending that the world that we are in the midst of does not exist. In reality, the Advent that we are called to celebrate is really both and. This opportunity to hear this message of repentance and turn away from the things that are separating us from God in this season, which is what this video in its best points to. It's not just about tidings of comfort and joy. We read in today Luke's gospel in the promise of this God come to earth. Christmas is entering the world. God is breaking into our lives. And this is the good news of Advent that comes when we stop and pay attention, even in little ways. There is wonder and mystery in the way that the coming of a little baby could transform a world and is still in the process of transforming it. But there's also this message in Advent to repent, to turn around, to turn to God, to stop and take a look at our lives and how we're living them, and to seek to live ever more focused in God. In order to do that, we need to ask the question, with what are we really busying ourselves for in this season? And where is that of God? Advent invites us to take time to look at that, even if we only do it in the quiet of this one worship hour. Advent can begin to give us a chance to look at that and begin to make changes in our lives. As Andrew said in his children's message, it takes more than one day. Too often, we think that we, though, are the beginning and the end of all of life, that all that happens is by our power, our wisdom, our knowledge, our energies, our imagination. And I think that's why our energies so often flag at this time of the year, as we look at all the things that we want to accomplish and the expectations that are upon us. We need to remember that we are not the Savior. We read in Luke's gospel, repent, turn around to God. It's a challenge to move from those places that we find ourselves, to literally turn and face another direction. And it can be very painful as well. But in that turning, in that moment, we begin to see what is possible, what is available, the grace that is around us, and with that, the possibilities of hope, peace, joy, and love that we remember in this Advent wreath. John the Baptist says after this text that we read this morning, that Matt read this morning, do not begin to say to yourselves, we have as Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Advent is a time for us to take inventory of our lives and to recognize those places where God has indeed shown up. And there are many for in this year past. For Advent is the beginning of a new church year. Where have you been blessed by God in this year? Where have you seen that in others, if not in yourselves? We talked about that in the Keeping Christ class last week at TNT, how to nurture that sense of expectancy of God, that God is coming again, and to be reminded that God comes through the witness of Scripture, reflecting back on the stories of faith through the ages. I've had a hunger for Scripture in this Advent that I haven't always had so strongly, to look back on those places, especially in the doom and gloom Advent passages, to look back and remember where God has blessed. Does our life in Christ in these days reflect that sense of God's awesome presence? Is our focus there instead of the things that would take us away from God? To seek God first. Maybe one way to do that is to start the day upon waking before you jump out of bed to the list of to-dos that you have, to think about and pray about the ways and the things that are ahead of you. To remember what blessings came in making it through the night. To raise to God the concerns of the day today and to hand them over to God and to seek first God's help in that. The daily lectionary for today points us to Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it. All of our life is in the Lord. Lift up your heads that the King of glory may come in. Lift them up. Turn them around. Look around you. At the people nearby, at the folks that you see. We delude ourselves when we think that we can accomplish this by our own power. John the Baptist knew that, and his call to repentance to literally turn around reminds us again of that. When you turn around, you begin to look at the world in a different way, in a different light, and life can no longer be the same. Bear fruits worthy of repentance, Luke goes on, or John the Baptist goes on to say in this passage of Luke. Do not rest on your own laurels or on your own past good behavior as a Christian or in church, for we are in a new season, a season to welcome Christ again in our lives, a new year. Salvation comes in Jesus, and it will come again this Christmas. Will we be ready to offer our lives for it, expecting, waiting, hoping, praying? And as we are able to reach out to another who is hurting in care, in big or small ways. This, my friends, is indeed good news, even amidst the doom and gloom Advent passages. Christ comes. We await in anticipation for new ways that God is breaking through in wonder, in grace, in the strength of answered prayer, in the hope of better tomorrows from the God who fulfills this promise to Isaiah that we read in Luke's gospel. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I have a new, as you know from the last time that I preached after our return from the Middle East, I have a new appreciation of the need for this. This was a gift by the Palestinian folks who were hosting us as we were in Bethlehem. It shows the manger and the wise men seeking to get to the manger through the wall that surrounds Bethlehem in these days. I invite you to think about that and the walls that are preventing you from finding new ways. To redouble our efforts to pray for peace in a world where that is lacking. To look at ways in which we might be a light, not just to one another in this community, to the ends of the earth, and to remember that that is not by our power that we do that, but by the power and the grace and the salvation of our Lord and God that we worship and point to in this season. This is the God we worship and adore, even in the darkest of times and moments. Blessed be God's name in all the earth. Alleluia and amen. We are delighted this Advent Sunday to welcome two new members to the life of this congregation. They have been in an extended new members class this fall as they have waited for the arrival of our new co-pastor Medhat to join us and have a final session with them. We rejoice in the opportunity to welcome them this morning.
So would Brian and Denise please come forward? Brian and Denise have been received by the session into the membership of the church. You are here to declare your faith and to be joined with the congregation in the service of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself from many different corners of this world. As members of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now he has brought you to this time and place so that you may confess his name before these sisters and brothers in this congregation to serve as faithful disciples.
Please show your intention to unite with this church by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Yes. Do you intend to be his disciples, to obey his word, and to show his love?
Yes. Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? If so, say, I do.
And this is a question for the congregation. Do we, the members of this church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this congregation through those who have reaffirmed their faith this morning. May we live and love in your spirit today. Together may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the minds of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory both now and for all time.
Brian and Denise, you are disciples of Jesus Christ. Live in his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him. Welcome to this ministry and this community of the Congregation of Jesus Christ at Providence Presbyterian Church today and for days to come. I do believe Denise has the longest last name in the congregation. Nitungagera Karabandi.
You did it.
Now is the time in our service where we bring our tithes and offerings.
Every
Now to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, to the only wise God, be glory to God and in the church. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, abide in our hearts and go forth into all life, this day and forevermore. Amen.